today as we come to the table.
The scripture says we're one. You know, if I think about a body and being one with my body, if I slam my finger in the door every day and do it on purpose, I'm going to have a miserable life. I'm going to have a miserable finger first. And that finger is going to cause a result to the rest of my body. What's that? A miserable life. A miserable day. Because I'm always going to be sore and upset and frustrated and whatever. And so I'm bringing this on myself. I'm not loving myself. I'm not nurturing myself, if you will, in this example here. So likewise, if I slam my wife verbally or in my actions every day, I'm going to have a miserable wife, which is going to lead us to a miserable life.
We all face situations in our daily lives that drain our mental energy. We tend to carry our frustrations with us, and they begin to influence how we interact with the people we meet. Even in marriage, if you face a difficult situation, you tend to project your anger and frustration onto your spouse, which leads to them carrying that anger within themselves, which leads to a fight. Well, thanks for taking the time to join us as we come to the table. The Daily Bible Study Program of Mark Kirk, Senior Pastor of Calvary Knoxville. What can you do in this situation? In today's message, Pastor Mark tells you how you can achieve marital peace by leaving all of your work frustrations and worries behind and loving your spouse with all of your heart. God will take care of your worries. Now, let's join Pastor Mark in the book of Ephesians chapter 5 as he continues his message, The Bible, God's Instruction Manual for Marriage, Part 2.
Secondly, notice here he says that we are to have to live self-sacrificing lives for our wives. Now, this is the second part of that. First, just as Christ loved the church, now self-sacrificing. Why? Again, because this is how Jesus loves us. He died for his bride, not seeking his own, but his bride's best interest. And so we as husbands have to ask ourselves, how much am I really laying my life down for my wife? Am I really doing that? And there are very practical things we could talk about, you know. One could simply be, you know, it's a heart attitude, but one can simply be, as we said earlier, just doing something, helping the wife. It's amazing, simply helping the wife around the home, helping the wife with our children. I don't know why it is, as husbands, we think that somehow we're not supposed to help with the kids. I can bathe the kids just as good as she can. Well, she does it better. You know, that for me, it was a lot harder, and you hope they wouldn't drown, but because you know, those little guys there, when they're that, they're slippery, aren't they, when they're little? Those of you moms and dads, have you ever noticed? Whoa, you know, scary, you know, little. But guys, you know, it doesn't mean, listen, I do believe that the wife, first and foremost, is to be watching after the home while the husband's away. And the husband is to be, you know, making the salary and bringing home for the wife and all that. But as the overseers of the home, we need to be involved in every part of it. You know, the best managers of a business are those who do every part of it. You ever notice that? You know, when you're trained at a restaurant or even trained, I think of restaurants or construction or anything else, the best person who's an overseer at construction is one who has done every single part of construction at some point. He's laid the brick before. He's put the grout in. He's put a tile down. He's fixed some carpentry on the corner. He's done it all, and therefore he can oversee it to the best ability. But if we as husbands say, well, that's not my job, that's their job, they do all that, then I just oversee it. Do this, do this, do this. And we're the, what, you know, we're the do this people. Because we're never going to be effective as husbands in our home and leading our families. And this is a way that we can show a self-sacrificing love for our wife. And again, it's not something that comes natural. It's not something that comes easy. It is a choice we make to love our wives, even as Jesus chose to love his bride, the church. Lastly, notice he says we are to give ourselves for our wives. That is, give ourselves, not just our time. Give ourselves. You know, this may sound obvious, but for men, it's not. Men, I want to say this to you, and women, you're not going to understand this. Men, and maybe the men, you won't understand it. Women, you'll understand this. Men, you won't. This is just for the men. Husbands, when you're home, be home. It was amazing. For years in our marriage, I'd come home, and Tracy would say, where are you? Well, I'm here spending time with my wife. No, you're not. Your mind's somewhere else. You're doing other things. You got all this. When you're home, at least be home. You're gone enough. But when you're home, be home. I need a husband. And what I found was is that I was coming home, but I wasn't home. My mind wasn't with my family. My mind wasn't with my wife. My mind wasn't with my kids. My mind was on what I got to do tomorrow. What did I not finish today? What's this? What's that? We have to somehow as husbands learn that switch. And it takes God's power, God's spirit to switch that switch over to I am with my family now. And they need me. And I need to do something with my wife other than just look at her at the table and grunt. I mean, speak to her, you know? Oh, you know? I don't believe in cavemen, but if I could see a link there, if there was ever any kind of woman, oh, you know, talk, you know. He says that, notice this, he gave himself for it that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, even as Jesus sanctifies and cleanses his bride, the church, so too the husband is to sanctify and cleanse his bride. Now, how? How does he do that? Number one, notice the word sanctify. It means to set apart for sacred use. You see, our wives are to be seen by us and treated by us as someone set apart for God's purposes. And hence, we have a responsibility to help them grow in the Lord as their leader. You know, it's not just my wife. This is God's little girl. Now, I see this in an interesting light now, having four little girls. I think about somebody that's wanting to marry my daughter. They may want to be her husband, but that's my little girl. And how you treat my little girl affects me greatly. And if you don't treat her right, it's going to affect you greatly. We've got God's little girls as our brides. That's pretty intense. Especially if you're a dad with a daughter. Now you begin to see his perspective. That's my girl. How are you treating her? Treat her as set apart for God's purposes. She's mine. Yes, I've loaned her to you to be a companion and a bride, but she's ultimately mine, and I'm taking her back one day. And so while you have her in your care as an overseer, I'm going to hold you accountable for how you oversaw. Intense. This is why, guys, we need prayer. Notice next, he says, cleanse, sanctify, and cleanse. It means to cleanse from stains and shame. Even as Jesus sets us apart and cleanses us from stains and shame, we're to do the same for our wives. Now, how do we do this? Well, we cleanse their shame by being gracious and forgiving when they mess up, and we cleanse their mind and heart by the washing of the water of the word. You know, Jesus sanctifies and cleanses us here by sharing his word. So too, we as husbands are to sanctify and cleanse our wives by sharing them with them our life and in God's word. What is the things that God shares with us, we need to be sharing with our wives. Share what God is saying to you. Share what God is showing you. I mean, it develops, not only develops the relationship, but again, it begins to mold the relationship with the Lord and your wife together in this sharing. Now, this can happen in a number of ways. I've seen couples do this different. It can be a time where you formally sit down and have a time together in the word, if you're the formal type, or it can be simply sharing with her what God is teaching you from the word as you live together day by day. But there should be an atmosphere of God's word and praise in our home that purifies our wives and children. It's just an atmosphere simply by living there. You know, praise and worship on the radio, movies and TV that don't defile our home, books and magazines that lead us to God and not away from God. We're training them up in the Lord. It's interesting. The word washing here means to bathe, or literally it's a bathing place. So what God is saying is we need a bathing place together with our wives to take a spiritual bath. That is a time where we share God's word with them. Again, it could be, as I said, something formal you set aside. You know, we've done several different tactics and methods throughout marriage of getting in the word together and just sharing the word together. And sometimes it'll be just pulling out the word and I'll read a chapter to her and we'll pray, or something God shared with me in the quiet time, I'll share with her. Sometimes we may, like if we're riding in the car, I find that to be a great time where I'll hand her the Bible. I don't read and drive, but I'll hand her the Bible, at least while she's with me. No, I'm kidding. I don't read the Bible and drive, but I'll hand her the Bible and let her read it. And as she reads it, then we talk about it. But there's this atmosphere of sharing the word together. Okay? And again, don't get intimidated by that. Well, I'm not a teacher. You don't have to be a teacher. And there doesn't have to be a formal, okay, sit down and we got to do this. Just as God shares his word, you know, honey, listen to these verses I read here in, you know, chapter 5 or whatever, chapter 6, and just share that. And look what God showed my heart. And you're washing your wife. You're sharing the word of God with her. And so there's that ministry in the word together that goes on. It's a wonderful thing. The Lord gives us his word and cleanses us. Now we pass that word on to our wives, and they're washed as well. And notice he says, why do we do this? Notice verse 27, that he might present it, that is the church, and the analogy here, the husband presenting the bride, but again, the Lord presenting his church to himself, a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. Now, without blemish here means absolutely blameless. And so what's the point here? Well, although we don't have the power to make our wives absolutely blameless like the Lord does his church, the Bible does say that our wives reflect how well we take care of them. You know, it might be that if our wife is cold and hard, we are, or that's how we're treating them. I think we have to honestly look at ourselves and say, you know, is my wife a reflection of me? You know, it's interesting, it talks about the wife, the woman is the reflection of the man. The word there literally means the reflection of the man when it says, speaking of women and men. And in context, he's not talking about marriage. He's talking about the fact that a woman was created in the same, you know, image of man, if you will, from man. But I wonder if there's not an application to some degree of, you know, our wives are basically what we've molded, what we've shaped over the years. Have we been harsh with our wives? You know, if we find our wives are harsh, the question is, have we been harsh with them? If we find they're cold again, or have we been cold with them? Now, again, I know that's not 100% of the time, but I think we need to honestly look at that as husbands, because wives follow our lead. Even as, you know, you set the pace, you know, for what the wife does oftentimes. We have to set the tone of the home as husbands. Notice he says, verse 28, so husbands ought to love their own wives as their own bodies. And he who loves his wife loves himself. Now note this, by loving our wives, we're in reality loving ourselves. And we love to love ourselves, so that's a good bonus. Now, how are we loving ourselves? Well, if we take good care of our wife, she's going to take good care of us. The scripture says we're one. You know, if I think about a body and being one with my body, if I slam my finger in the door every day and do it on purpose, I'm going to have a miserable life. I'm going to have a miserable finger first. And that finger is going to cause a result to the rest of my body. What's that? A miserable life. A miserable day. Because I'm always going to be sore and upset and frustrated and whatever. And so I'm bringing this on myself. I'm not loving myself. I'm not nurturing myself, if you will, in this example here. So likewise, if I slam my wife verbally or in my actions every day, I'm going to have a miserable wife, which is going to lead us to a miserable life. Again, as husbands, we control the tone of our home by how we treat our wives. And so it's in our best interest to treat them well, and then we get to reap the reward. You know, it's been said that if you have a happy wife, you have a happy wife. And that makes for a happy home. So husband, you're doing yourself. I did hear a funny story I've got to share with you. I didn't have this. It just popped in my mind. But a story about a man that was living out in a tree in his hammock. People are coming by. His wife, again, called the authorities and was mad because, you know, I forget who it was she called, but she was upset. I think it was some authority because he's living out in the tree of the yard, and he would sit there and just spend all day talking to people as they walked by, you know, on his days off. She's like, make him come down out of that tree. And so they began to investigate and found out that she was bugging the guy to death. Just his life was miserable at home. And I don't know how much of that, probably a lot of that his fault. But the point is they told her, they said, look, you know, make the home a place he wants to be. And he won't be out in a hammock up in the tree, you know, talking to people as they come by. But we as husbands need to set that tone for our wives. We're the ones that need to make the home a place where our wife wants to be. And then the wife in turn will make the home a place where we want to be. How much better to want to come home than to feel like you have to come home? It's a blessing of the Lord. Now, in addition, a lack of love for our wives will cause them to be insecure, which in turn can cause a challenge to the leadership in the home. You know, an insecure wife, well, you say, how does it do that, Mark? Well, if our wife doesn't believe we love her, she feels compelled to take things in her own hands that her life might be secure. She can't depend on us to love her. So she's got to try to do the things she needs to do to have a secure life. She's thinking, well, if he doesn't love me and take care of me and our family, then I'm going to have to do it. Well, the result then, what's the result? See, there's a vicious cycle that starts here. The result for the husband is he feels challenged in the home, which causes him to harden up even more. And now you've got this vicious cycle of the husband feeling like he's challenged in the home and he's not the husband. And you got the wife going, he doesn't love me and I've got to take care of this myself. And there's this vicious cycle going on that grows the couple farther and farther from each other. And so how do we reverse the cycle? Well, either the husband or the wife must start doing what God calls them to do, no matter what the other one does. Now, God would call the husband to be the one to lead in that way. It doesn't always work that way. But as the leader, he would call the husband to be the one to lead, to do what's right, whether the wife does or not. But as the leader, you know, he's still got to do it. He's got to say, you know what? I need to do it. The wife, if he doesn't do it, still do it. You remember what it says in 1 Peter 3? Wives, if your husbands don't obey the word, then without a word, win them to Christ by your conduct in the Lord. And so again, one or the other has to take that step and say, you know what, I'm going to do what's right. Notice verse 29, for no one ever hated his own flesh, but nourishes and cherishes it just as the Lord does the church. Now, to nourish and cherish means to take great care of and to be warm and tender toward. Note that. What he's saying is, husbands, we are to be warm and tender toward our wives. How many of us are hard and cold toward our wives? You know? Be warm and tender. Next, it's an interesting point here. He says, no one ever hated his own flesh. The point is, if we don't nourish and cherish our own wives, we are in reality hating our own flesh, and then we're going to reap the consequences. So what he's saying is, husbands, if you want your home to be warm and tender, then you lead the way in warmth and tenderness. Your wife will respond to that. You know, the Bible says that we love the Lord. Why? Because he first loved us. What a model of the Lord to the bride. He's the one that initiated the love. We as the bride responded to his love and said, you love me? You mean you love me? Then maybe I'll quit being so hard and rebellious and just give you my life. And so we as husbands, when our wives say, you really love me? I mean, you really, and you're showing me you love me, and you're saying it, you're showing it? Wow, I guess I can be warm and tender toward you. It's this response that takes place. It's a beautiful thing that God has built in. Again, remember, there's this visual picture God has given us in the marriage that he's given with the church and his bride. He knows what he's doing. He wants us to be able not to understand it as we read it, but to see it. He says, verse 30, for we are members of his body, of his flesh and his bones. And for this reason, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and the two shall become one flesh. Now, we see Paul again reiterate the foundation of family government that we talked about in Genesis 2. And since we covered it last week, we're not going to do it again. But notice here, he says, this is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Now, what is the mystery? The mystery is, speaking of Christ and the church, we leave the past behind and form a new life with the Lord, individuals yet one, and living this new life of commitment to our Lord. And so now he's saying that's what the marriage is to be a picture of for the world. It's establishing this new life. It's visibly demonstrating this relationship that we have with God. And now notice he finishes off in verse 33 and says, nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let the wife see that she respects her husband. Paul finishes off here stating that once again, the two main principles of marriage. Notice this, husbands, love your wives, and wives, respect or submit to your husbands. Notice the wife is to respect her husband. Again, it's interesting. The word respect here means to fear. And it comes from the word phobia, but it doesn't mean fear as in scared he's going to bop you or something. That's not the kind of fear that God would want and that any wife should be under. What it means here in this particular context is to treat him with honor. Realize that God placed him there to be the leader of the home and treat him with honor. And also that he's got the weight on his shoulders of having to answer to God for you, God's little girl, one day. Notice it doesn't say to respect him if he's respect worthy. This respect does not have to be earned. It's simply done because we're doing it for the Lord. In the same way, the husband is not to love the wife because she's earned it. The Bible doesn't say husbands love your wife if she's love worthy. Doesn't say that, does it? It says love your wives just as Christ loved the church. And in the church, we were in great sin when the Lord loved us and brought us to himself. We need to love our wives. And then we simply respect the position that God's given each of us in the family. So what is the summation of the entire matter between husbands and wives? Well, wives, submit to and show respect for your husbands. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ loved the church and died to himself for it. And these two commands alone will solve the majority of marital problems. Now, again, it doesn't solve everything, but the majority of our marital problems would be solved if we would do these two basic things. The problem is we don't always apply them, do we? Now, lastly, lest you leave here feeling discouraged and unable to do it, guys and gals, remember, it's the power of the Holy Spirit. This is a work of the Lord. It's not by our fleshly efforts. You're saying, all right, you've given me all this information. I think one of the worst things a pastor can do is go down the list of things that we're supposed to do and not tell us how to do it. Husbands, do this. Wives, do that. God bless you. See you next week. And then you go home and go, well, I can't. Well, what do I do? Here's where the application comes in. All that we've studied these last 2 weeks is all contingent on your running to the Lord and saying, you've got to give me the power by your Holy Spirit. If you don't do that, none of this will work. None of it. You might know the instruction manual very well. You might be very educated, very knowledgeable. You may be able to teach a class on what husbands are supposed to do. You may be able to instruct on wives, how they should be doing. But if you don't get on your knees and say, God, you've got to fill me with your Holy Spirit. You've got to come upon me with your power, and you've got to enable me to do each of these things. If you don't do that and do it on a regular basis, as remember we saw back in verse 18 last week, to be continually filled with the Holy Spirit. If you don't do that on a regular basis, you're not going to be successful as a husband or as a wife. Now, to finish here today, to demonstrate how we as husbands are to love our wives by dying to ourselves for them. I'd like to read you a true story that I found in a booklet, Our Daily Bread. You've probably read those before or seen them, about a couple named William and Mary Tanner. Let me just read the story. It'll speak for itself. It says, William and Mary Tanner were crossing a railroad track together when Mary's foot slipped and became wedged between the rail and a wooden crosswalk. Frantically, she tried to get loose as a train approached around the curve. Her husband tried over and over to free her as the speeding train continued its course. As the express came closer with its brakes now screeching, Mary realized it could not stop in time. And so she frantically said, "Leave me, Bill, leave." Seeing his efforts were useless, he arose quickly and held his arms around her and completely protected her body as much as possible. While bystanders shuddered in horror, they saw the train thunder over both of them. And it was reported that just before the engine hit them, they heard the brave man cry, "I'll stay with you, Mary. Husbands, that's how we love our wives. If you do that, she will follow you to the end of the earth." Father, we thank you, God, for your faithfulness. We as husbands are weak. We don't always love our wives the way we're to love them. God, give us your strength. We need your power. We need your ability. We need to be men, and we need to lead as men. But we are often weak in those abilities to lead as men. And I pray, God, that you would give us a love for our wives, laying down our life, Lord, even as you laid down your life on the cross for us. And Lord, I know if we do that, that you'll make our wives everything they're supposed to be for us. God, bless the marriages of Calvary Chapel. I see marriage under great assault. And I know that Satan would love nothing more than to destroy our families and destroy our marriages. And Father, I want to pray this morning for those that are hurting right now in marriage, Lord. Lord, the wives that can see they've not been the wife they should be. The husbands that can see they've not been the husband they should be. But God, I pray, Lord, that you would now help us rather than to leave here in despair and defeated. Lord, I pray that you'd help us now to do what we need to do to make it possible to run to you and say, Father, fill us with your Holy Spirit. I pray we would show each other grace. God, I pray wives would show grace to their husbands if they've not been the husbands they should be, that husbands would show grace to the wives if they've not been the wives they should be. And Lord, that together we would trust in you and your power and your ability, Lord, to do what it is we're called to do. And Father, we know that you'll give us that ability. So Father, I ask right now that you would fill us with your Holy Spirit, that you would come upon us with your power, and that you would use us now, Lord, in our marriages, not only to bless our wives and to bless our husbands, but to show the world, Lord, what you intended marriage to be, a picture of your love for your bride. Lord, even as you wrapped your arms around us as the train was coming, you didn't jump out of the way. But Lord, you took the blow that we might be with you forever. And we give you the glory, Lord, for what you've done. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's always a blessing to have you come to the table of God's Word with us each and every day. Pastor Mark's been going through the book of Genesis, and there's much to learn and appreciate from this first book of the Bible. Sometimes to fully grasp something later on, you need to understand where things began. From verse 1, God made it clear that he was there all along, and he set things in motion exactly as he instructed. Isn't it neat to see that all of creation is under God's authority? That includes you. This could seem a bit intimidating, but it's actually God's way of looking out for your best interests. Once you look at it that way, you start to realize that everything in all of creation is something that God initiated with intention, and that includes you. What a great thing to come to today. If you missed any part of this message or would like to hear this one again, you can always go back and find it at thewaymedia.net. Just click on the Come to the Table tab. Another way to access these messages is by downloading the Way Media app from the Apple App Store or Google Play Store. By doing this, you'll be able to take these teachings with you wherever you go. Would you like to get in touch with us? Our number is 865-609-1385. Once more, that's 865-609-1385. Feel free to call us with questions or to even ask for prayer. Please come back for another edition. where Pastor Mark will continue his teaching through the book of Genesis, the next time we come to the table. Come to the Table is a radio outreach ministry of Calvary Knoxville.